Dalad Eor, Sunday the 30th of April, Rabbi Yechiel Feiner, Architectural and Designer Copyrights. This week's Torah Way has been sponsored for Refuah Shleima of Rafael Shmuel Yaakov, Ben Yehudis, Sivya.
Starts off by quoting the Mishnah, first Mishnah of Ovis, written, which we read yesterday, some of us. Rabbi Yomer, Rabbeinu HaKodesh says, Ezehu derech ishar shiyova lo ya'odom, kol shihi tiferes lo yisera, v'tiferes lo yimino odom. We have many anhogos, which the lashon of the Rebbe sometimes in the Mishnah is potter avol aser. And sometimes I feel that the word should be aser avol potter, because people read the potter and they don't carry on the rest of the mishpat avol aser. There are many things, many in everyday life we come across many scenarios where we forget that potter avol aser means avol aser. B'meh dvarim amurim. There's a Yerushalmi in the beginning of Parshas Noach says that the Mabul came on the final straw which brought about Mabul was Chomos. Chomos says the Yerushalmi, they were known to be Gozel Pochos Mishavim Pruta. That's what brought about the Mabul. Look, it's another Pele, Pochos Mishavim Pruta, the whole Mabul, the whole world destroyed. They say every Chet has got a Tikkun. Gezel. There's no Heshi B'Sagzela, and the Chet, the impact of the Chet on the world remains an impact, a negative impact, and Chas B'Shalom brings down, we don't understand these things, brings down the whole world. So in other words, the whole Mareches of Tshuva doesn't exist. When we're going to speak about Halachas today, where to be Meitzi Momen, the Beis Din, Al Pi Dayonim, in a lot of these cases is very difficult. We have to understand that even if in the course of our shiur we come out with maskonos that it's difficult to be meitzi momen, that does not mean necessarily, and in many cases, that it's muta, adirabba. We're talking about isurim chamurim, which maybe we don't even have a tikkun if a person does this isurim. So we shouldn't be mekel rosh chas v'shalom with these isurim. There's an old rule for a public speaker or a pulpit speaker, I am neither, that if you say a joke, you're not allowed to repeat the same joke for a period of 1 year. If you say a story, then you can allow 6 months to elapse and then you can repeat the story. A dva alocha or a dva Torah, you can repeat already the next week. V'yesh mekilim afilu ba'yisei drasha. B'meh dvarim amurim, a good friend of mine spoke on this forum a few months ago on the subject we're speaking about today. That was something I was only made aware of in the last 24 hours. David Koenig, old Yedid of mine, he spoke here about the Indian of copyright. And from what I understand, he's focused on one of two inyonim. He brought about the two problems of copyright. The two problems of copyright. One is, first of all, to establish that there is indeed an issue of copying somebody else's acts or somebody else's designs. The famous tshuvas on if somebody gets buys discs and cassettes and all the all these things, and in the second, and that was what he focused on, was on quantifying how much damage you pay when you do steal it. Do you pay that? No, do you pay the nezek? That was his subject. So we'll try. We'll even though despite the rule which he said, we'll presume that everyone is very familiar with the quantity of the damage. And if not, then it still exists on there. They can still hear it. Okay, I'll hear it too. We're going to concentrate more on the actual issa of, if there is an issa, of copywriting. ask a few shailas, which there's no limit to the shailas you can ask Kofferim, because these are maisim which come up in Kimat everyday life. The maisim which came to us was as follows. I'll give you just a little bit of background knowledge to how the building is done in Eretz Yisrael today. They have the word in Ivrit called proyektim. The nearest translation to that is projects. Now, projects in Eretz Yisrael are, they take large pieces of land, like this particular case to case in Elad, and they build lots of buildings, where all the buildings are, we would say, stereotyped. They're very, very similar buildings, if not identical. More so, inside each building, each floor, one on top of the other, is also identical, in it doesn't have to be, but usually the chalukah, the division of the apartment between the floors, that's usually if you walk into one floor, you don't know which number of the elevator you went out on. You went to the next one before they started furnishing. You wouldn't know which floor you were on because each one was almost identical. Maisa Shehoyo, somebody bought a flat in Elad, and he took a designer to build for him, or to design for him, a bookshelf. Svarim Shrank, which he made from cast plaster, and whatever, glass, and had some concealed lighting in it. He made something very, very fancy and elegant, and he paid the designer for it, who designed this, who the architect, he pays him $1,000, something stunning, apparently. And he took his workers, and he built it, everything was fine. One day, the neighbor from upstairs came in to speak to the balas for himself, and he said, "Oh, that's beautiful, this is... do you mind if I copy this and do the same thing in mine? I've got exactly the same size thing. It's perfect." So the Rebbe says, he was mufargen, not like all the other shalits we have in Hilchos Shehorim. He says, "Favostist, other Rebbe." Not only that, he showed, took out from his drawer, "This is the building plan which was given to my person, the Baal Malacha, who did it. Take it, gesundheit, build a svarim shelf with the guest of Fagnigan, no problem at all. Build it. So far, so good. Fine." That is what he did. The neighbor upstairs built the identical Sforim shelf. A few weeks later, the neighbor upstairs had a simcha in his house. He had the Shalom Zocher. And who came to visit to the Shalom Zocher?
Architect.
How do you know? You know the story, I see? Okay. Very good. The architect came and he saw him and he's having deja vu. I've seen this somewhere before. This is my design. What's going on here? Ooh. What do you say? So what did the designer say? 1 minute. This is, I designed this for the neighbor. What right do you have to go and build this?
He's been paid for it.
So you say he's been paid for it. It's a good timer. Let's see if the timer is valid. He said he paid for it. What do you want? It's mine. I gave it to him. What's your business?
He would have sold the existing shelf, take it upstairs. Anything wrong with that?
Yeah, I'm saying maybe. Maybe. This is the question. Was it right? Was it not right? He built an identical swarm shelf upstairs based on the design of Reuven. But there's a twist in the tale. So the guy upstairs, he didn't want to get into machloikas, he gave him a few hundred dollars, zayt shtil. Tzeda, he's happy. Lifnim rishus adim, v'aday lifnim rishus adim l'chayra, according to what you say for sure. The neighbor downstairs heard about it, he says, "Hey, 1 minute. If he took my thing, I gave it to him as a thing to thee, why should he pay the designer? I paid the designer, like you said." He went to the designer, he says, "1 minute. You had no right, Michal, to sell the plan I bought from you and sell it to somebody else. It's my design. I paid you for it. The design belongs to me. It's mine. You had no right to go and take it and market it to the neighbor upstairs. Ma'od, I gave it to him as a present. So what right do you have? If you're going to get money for it, that money is mine." No buzzocks of them.
You get a present, you can do what you like with it.
Sorry?
I'll give you a wedding present, you can do what you like with it. You can sell it if you want to.
Lichaira. So let's first of all, I don't think this is the right thing to do on this forum here, but I still, anyway, I just want to let you know, first of all, what the legal situation is on this. Yes. So we have Yankee here today to back me up on it.
UK or Israel?
Sorry?
Which law? UK or Israel?
I'm going to tell you the international law. It happens to be, I based this on the US law. In six states out of the 50 states, the state does not, this law is slightly different. But this is US law. I presume it's international law in most civilized Western countries. The two things are, first of all, if you construct a substantially similar building without permission, you may be infringing the copyright owner's rights. One, The other one is the original architect or designer remains the owner of any copyrights in the architectural design, even if the contractor or owner paid for the design.
Oh, sure.
The law doesn't agree with you, but they say the law is an ass. No, they say. Alternatively, an owner or contractor should obtain written permission from the original architect or designer before reusing previously purchased plans on other projects. If the design's uniqueness is important to the owner, it should also insist that its license be exclusive. Otherwise, an architect could resell the design to others.
He can sell it 10 times if he wants.
Yeah, yeah.
He can sell it 10 times. So what? So we've got two.
Every architect contract in England nowadays has a provision related to.
Okay, and I want to tell you, so all these halachas we're going to see, let me just give you a little hakdom. All these halachas are talking about whenever you have a din Torah of this case. Whenever there's laws and everything, and halachas and everything, if you've got an explicit contract, which written between the two tzadim, aleph, beis, gimel, so that's the overrider. There's no. We're talking about when there's a contract of Swiss cheese, got a lot of holes in it, we do not know exactly what was the das of the two tzadim, then we have to refer to the halacha. Not chas v'shalom, we're discarding halacha. In other words, if a person agrees to waive his rights al pi halacha, or to waive his rights al pi law, so that's what governs it. We're talking about in an area where here there was no contract made. When I bought this design from the architect, nobody mentioned for one second that I can sell it, can't sell it. We just didn't speak about these things. To me, Mr. Keith, he wants to make himself a Sfarim shelf. He hasn't got a business cop. He wants to make himself a nice Sfarim, and he measured the height of the Shas and the Shulchan Aruch. Everything should look nice. He didn't have any grosser kavanos in it. So we have to now revert. We come to Chiluk Ideas, a Din Torah on these things. We have to revert now to the Makarios to see how do we interpret the what's happened, the events here, and who owes what and who can do what. And that is the shaila. The other shaila, which is the maestro, comes almost, it's like it's a granddaughter of this shaila. Today, if let's say a person walks in the street and he sees a beautiful front of a house, he's walking in Bishop's Avenue, sees that at the front of the house, he decides, that's what I want to put into my house in Hamilton Road. So he takes his, all right, he's very creative, imagination, and he takes his camera out. Today with your camera, 50 pixel, 1,000 pixel, whatever you do, you take your camera, and then afterwards, you know, like let your fingers do the walking, you can grow up, you can enlarge every single detail on the thing. So is it mutter to do that? You walk in the street, you see a design, you see this beautiful door, that's what you want in your architect. Are you allowed to do it? The person who bought the door no doubt paid a lot of money for it, the designer, and the architect, and the carpenter. Are you allowed to do it? Furthermore, this is already something which is mamish negev, because people do this the whole time, lechaira, and some of them have a heter for it, but I'm not sure if it's a good one. If somebody walks past a shop window, or let's go even further, if somebody walks into a shop, a woman walks into a shop and she sees a stunning dress there. The problem with the stunning dress is that there's a price tag on it. She's not going to pay that amount of money. Favos. She takes out the camera, goes to her dressmaker, and tells the dressmaker, this dress over here, copy it, and think. So, is that mutter or not?
It's not impossible for a tailor to copy a dress just from the photo, but the dress will not be the same.
Okay. It'll be very similar. Copyright doesn't have to be exactly the same, it can be similar as well. Most people who steal things, they make slight adjustments because they want to mark.
When you take a CD and you copy, it's 100% the same.
Okay. That's okay. When you take a CD and copy, it's even worse, you're right. Alright, so let's say it's 90%, so it's only when, if it's also, it's only 95% also, because 5% wasn't a good copy. Granted.
Does it make it
the shop the
Jewish or not?
Sorry? Does yes. It might make it. No. If Gezel Akum is also. If it's Gezel, it's going to be also. But to go into the shop, it'll make a difference. It won't make a difference. Now let's go outside the shop. You're walking at night, the shop's closed. You're walking down Rodeo Drive in Los Angeles, it's for our people in California, where dresses start from $5,000. And you see in the window this stunning dress. Take a picture. and you give it to your dressmaker. There was already, you didn't go into the shop. We understand if you walk into somebody else's shop, the Rambam says you're not even allowed to walk, look in the shop window to see an article. If you don't intend to buy it, that's because you're going with das from the Baal HaBayis. He's going to get upset. He thinks he's already buying his Shabbos. I'll smash this. But to walk into the shop of Avodah Zarah, you're being masculine, you're trespassing, you're going to somebody else's shop. I give you permission to walk into my shop, I'm asked to buy. Not I'm asked to take a picture of this beged, and then take it to your dressmaker, your tailor, and then...
It often says, view without obligation to buy.
Without obligation to buy, but that doesn't mean that you've got a heter to copy it and give it to your dressmaker to copy it. That's already a lot further. And the other challenge they ask is, what happens if somebody sees on his kosher phone... there's an area called Google or something. He sees there a beautiful dress there on the Google. His wife. Can she take that beged she saw on the Google and copy it? Mm. She can, she can't. What's the deal? It's a good timer. Something which you put on the Google, on the web. I was avoiding using the word internet. Puts it on the web, and this beged is seen. Everyone can see it. So when you put it on there, there's a sukh hefkeris. You know that you're taking the risk. And like you said before, nobody can copy it exactly. So he's building, the designer is building on that. It won't be a perfect copy, but a person, it's difficult to come with timers if you put it in Rishus Arabim like that. If you go to a chasna, and you take a photo of somebody at the chasna, the person has a very, very beautiful suit. Or a woman has a very nice dress, yeah? He takes a picture, or the woman takes a picture, and she gives it to a dressmaker to copy. This thing is already on public display. The person has paid for the dress, it's their beged. So, lecheret, you cannot compare that to walking into somebody else's shop, walks into a Jewish shop, and he sees the thing, and he takes a photo of it, and he wants to take that picture and use that. Yes. That's for sure.
The woman who buys a dress, she has to say to her friend, you want to copy it?
There's a parallel between. If you've got your bookshelf, you paid the architect, the design is yours. The question is, if the dressmaker who's made a custom-made dress for this person, can she take that design and then sell it on to somebody else who wants the same dress? And there you can understand a bit of snob value here. The person who bought the dress, I bought this dress specially. I could have bought in a dress in John Lewis. Why did I take a dressmaker? Because I wanted my dress to be exclusive. I didn't want anyone else, and that's the thing. You go and take the design. It's a good question. You go and take the design, which I paid you for, and you go and sell it to another woman, and I go to a simcha, and I go and bump into Mrs. who's wearing exactly the same dress as me.
Right.
She can have bought it in the
shop as well.
No. Yeah, why did she not buy it in the shop? Because she wanted to be exclusive. She didn't want to have the same beggars.
There's only one design exactly like that.
Sorry?
So exclusive. There's only one design of that dress exactly like that. Every other dress
is right.
Exactly.
So the woman, it could be the woman herself who bought the dress. She maybe, if she's not makpil on it, the person lives in Sydney and she lives here, and the person wants to copy the dress, la briot, doesn't bother her, but she's going to meet in the same
town.
She's paying, so when she buys the dress, she's paying for the liberty of having that one.
Yeah.
So it's
with dresses, you can't say that with bookshelves, because a person who unless he's a snob, but if he designs a nice bookshelf for his forum and his thing, what does it bother him if the neighbour upstairs has the identical bookshelf? Maybe it does. If it bothers him, it bothers him. But when you're speaking about women with dresses, it's a different patch. You're not for here.
It's a similar question. If you go in a Yiddish shop and you see a beautiful dress, but she wants a lot of money, so you have a look at the brand, and you go on the net and you buy it for half the price. Are you allowed to do that?
No. You're not even allowed to look in the shop window to see a beged which you have no intention of buying. If you walked into the shop, you intended to buy it, so beseder, but to start, do you think the shopkeeper is paying rent to have a house in the shop in the middle of the high street in Golders Green Road, because you should walk in and get some ideas of the dress you want to buy from somebody else?
That's
very Zichar nothing. Sorry?
The
shaila is chaser on its own again and again and again. Just one more shaila, I don't think we're going to have anywhere near enough time. Even if I speak without deviation or repetition or... for 30 minutes, we're not going to complete this. But let's there's another shaila which they speak about. Everyone knows about copying cassettes. What happens if you go to Sfiris HaOmer and you hear Chazan and you tape it. Are you allowed to tape the chazan? Not for commercial reasons. You tape it for yourself. Are you allowed to?
So happy you taped this.
Maybe the chazan wants. Maybe the chazan is going to produce a disc, and he wants you to buy his disc. Maybe.
Not with a quality that.
I'll just give you the answer now because we're not going to get. Just give you the answer now. That's where Zalman Nechemia Goldberg's got a tshuva, a very nice tshuva. He says, you know that for Sukkot is a din of Lachem, the Arba Milim.
Yes.
In Lachem, it says, in Hilchos Shef, the Rambam, the Pasuk says, V'tkatem Lachem, Yom Tshuva Lachem. Lachem is not to be a din of Lachem in the Shefa. So the Rambam says that you're Yotzi with a Shefa Gozel. Why? Because the coil you can't steal. So Zalman Nechemi wants to bring a raya from that. You can't steal a coil. So the actual coil is not stealing. Elomai, you're talking about copyrights, that's already a different thing.
Taking the song, you're taking the arrangement, and that's equally a problem.
Yeah. If you're taking the arrangement and doing something with it, and you're using it, if you're doing it for Bederch Kal, we haven't got time.
The
consensus on the Poskim on these things is that if you do it for your own personal, not for commercial reasons, Bederch Kal Rove of the Poskim are matter that you can make copies, even copy a disc from somebody if it's for yourself. There's some people who say even to copy a disc for yourself, if there's a Havamina Sheb, a Havamina, one day you might buy it, you also go in Mahasa to the.
Commercial reasons,
yeah. Right. Anyway, Bekitza, we're gonna cut this very short. There are five, unless you give me over injury time, there are five possible ways of looking at this, the issa of copyright. One is, yored l'umnes chaveru. Umasigvul, you're taking away somebody else's business. First of all, if you use masigvul, you asked before, what's the difference between a yid and a goy? It says, oro masigvul re'ehu. There's no din of masigvul from a goy. A masigvul and a goy, there's no masigvul. So if there would be a problem with masigvul, with copyright, infringing on copyright, that would not be a problem if you're copying a goyish design. The problem would only exist. But lemaisa, masigvul, it's very difficult to use masigvul as a rule with copyright, because masigvul, just tell you just two very brief klalim in masigvul. If I, in my town, want to open up another shop where there's a restaurant, let's say there's a baker, and I also want to open up a bakery, that's nothing to do with copyright, I'm allowed to open it up because that's the rules of competition. I may open up a bakery in my own town because if I live, we both live in London, I can open up one the same as you can open one. You opened up first, too bad, I can open one as well. There's no issue of masigvul on that. Masigvul, if somebody else comes from an outside town and opens up in my town, and then I've got rights. But another person can always open up. Similarly, I can open up in my town, I can open up a bakery. I don't need any, if it's, as long as it's in my town, I've got, nobody can stop me doing it, even if there's already another bakery in that street. The shaila is what happens when you're talking about things like copyright, whether there's a gvul of one town or not. Because the whole world, there's no geographical boundaries on these things. The whole world is part of the. So it's very, very difficult to define that. But if a person wants to open up in his own town, so you're going to say that somebody, an outsider, can't come into my town and open up a bakery. Now, if you're talking about copyrights, if we say the whole world is one unit, the same way as I can do. If you're going to say I'm infringing on somebody else because the whole world is one unit, the same way I can open it, Dafka, because it's mutz to open up in the same town. So whichever way you look at it, it's going to be a problem to Asa because of Yered L'umnes Chaver. The other thing which the Pasuk talk about is Dina D'Malchusa. Now, Dina D'Malchusa, first of all, morally, it's difficult for us to say Chas V'Shalom, something, some shortcoming in Shulchan Aruch, in the Makaris, to find this, so that we have to resort to the chukim of the goyim in order to think. But the mitzvah is that copyright in Yonim is something that wasn't in the time, same as there's no halachas of Kiddush Levona when you're on Mars, because these things were never relevant. Chazal never addressed this issue hundreds of years ago because it wasn't relevant. You see, the first tshuva on these things starts with the tshuva of the Ramah, the Maram Padawa, he printed the other chazok of the Rambam, Mishneh Torah. and somebody else wanted to decide it's a good business, and then he gave a psak. It's the whole shekel of Torah. Mutar asa musa asa. Now lacha he passing this asa, but lacha has nothing to do with masivul. Could be as also as exeris takonas cherim kadmoyim, because they wanted to protect. Shouldn't be a tzemach tzedek says that people wanted to protect if somebody's going to invest his money and produce for him. And 2 days later, somebody else can do it, so nobody's going to invest. In order, could be it was a takana, nothing to do with copyright. It's very difficult to go down that route. But there's something else in Dina de Malchus. Dina de Malchus, when you have between two parties, if you have a contract, we say Dina de Malchus, Dina, not because we're adopting the Dina de Malchus, but if I employ somebody and he's got social rights aren't written in Shulchan Aruch, but why do we still apply them and I still have to pay out the social rights? Because it serves as a kind of umdina. Those were the conditions which were agreed on, even though they're not written in the contract, when I formed and created this relationship. So l'chayyar, you could say that the minag ha-yotrim is this and this and this. But again, it's also a problem because these things change the whole time. The laws change and the matzias changes, and the goyim are not necessarily going to respond. So meicha teisa, somebody's maskim with minag ha-yotrim. Moreover, that when you can only use such a klal of minag ha-yotzim when you've got two parties in it. I agree this and this with you. We made an agreement. So we can try and shut up, make an umdana, what was the das of the two tzadim. But here we're talking about a unilateral thing. I went and did something unilaterally. So the sos ha-yotzim has nothing to do with, that has nothing to do with minag ha-yotzim. The other, the more likely two tzadim of how to be miyashir this is of how to try and find what the halacha is between mazik, gazlan, or midin nehene. That's what was spoken about, I understand, in the tshuva, famous tshuva of the Noedim Yehuda, which was spoken about on this forum. But I just want to, sometimes that you feel that when you look in all the tshuvas of the Paschim, you feel that there's a determination to find why it should be usher to copyright, because there's something morally wrong here. You're taking somebody else's time, his money invested, and you're using that to there's something morally wrong. You have a feeling that the poskim, they were all looking to try and find why it's asa, and by that the presumption was that it's asa. That's an incorrect presumption. Even though, you see, I'll just read you the Loshon of Reb Shimon Shkop. He writes, Reb Shimon Shkop is trying to explain in the beginning of Baba Kama, how does this kid bar work? A bar is not mine. How can I be responsible for a bar? He uses faket. He says, K'moshe b'dvarim sh'nogim l'schus ha'odom, muskem al pi dinei Torah v'dinei ha'amin. It's a very unusual lashon, but that's what he writes. Muskem al pi dinei Torah v'dinei ha'amin, sh'kol mi shimamtzi dov ha'chodosh b'olam, hu ha'bayna v'leh l'chol d'vaschus. So Reb Shimon says, without him, Makor, he writes it. That was his feeling. K'moshein kora Torah l'ish ha'michin takol b'shem balabo bala'ish. In other words, his shaila wasn't on the copyright. That was poshit to him. Shaila was balabor, balaish, why are they chayv? And he says that, like it's another poshit, that somebody's abiding on his thing. But it's a shverezach to be masig. We're talking about gzeila. When a person, if I steal, I don't steal, try not to. If Reuven steals from Shimon, £10, he creates a relationship with Shimon. Shaila relationship. Reuven is the gazlan. Shimon is an exile. That relationship can be created when you steal something tangible. If you steal something abstract, you haven't stolen anything, and he's not even lacking anything, Zenene v'zeh chosa, chayiv. Zenene v'zeh le chosa. So here, where's he chosa? Where's he chosa? When you steal something, a copyright, you take something from somebody else, he's b'chal not chosa l'chayra. El omai, you're talking about a case when he is. That's the case of the Noedim Yehuda, where the Noedim Yehuda brings the case where Reuven, he rented, he took a printer to print his own pirush on two storim in Mishnais, I think it is. Took two storim to print the printer. And those days, printing was done not like today. Like they had to take lugs and thing and put it together. And when they finished each page, they would take it apart and put the letters together for the next page. This printer had a very large stock of letters. So he kept all the pages. And when he finished printing for Reuven, his pirush, he took off the pirush at the bottom, and he wanted to produce his own with the same settings. So Noedim Yehuda says he can't do it. Why? Because Reuven paid him to put together the pages, and he's nena from Reuven's thing, like from his design. It's true, it was Reuven's design, but he paid him for it. So if he paid him for it, it belongs now to Shimon. So how can Reuven go and And so Rabbi Yehuda wants to bring the maskana from that, that it's that's osa, and if he's paid and he does it, he's nana from it. The Maaseh is a very big chiddush that from the Rabbi Yehuda, because there are baruch tam on this, if in the new editions of Rabbi Yehuda, the Ha'oris in the back. Baruch tam asks a very, very posh takasha. He says, here, it could be that Reuben, when he gave the price of printing it, that when Shimon gave the printer, gave the price to Reuben for printing it, he took him to Cheshbon. Afterwards, he'll also have some tapes on it. Maybe he gave him a better price, Michal. And it's his own letters, Mechet Estim and Chayvim. But that's what the Noed Biyuda says. And if he's the Noed Biyuda, it'll come out in our case over here.
Bookcase.
Yeah, what's going to be in the case in the bookcase? According to Noed Biyuda, he...
Yeah, can't.
According to this person he ordered it, he purchased it, belongs to him. The other guy's got no right to resell it to anyone.
So that contravenes. The bookies, he could have sold his bookies to the man upstairs and had another one built for him. There would have been nothing wrong with that. Selling the bookcase, take it upstairs, which I paid for, and then
I don't want builders in the house again. Have you ever had builders with plaster? The whole house gets full of dust. Who wants it? Once is enough.
Let's say it was a wooden bookcase.
You still don't want it. Well, I'm not looking for
a judge.
I like this design. He's a rumba.
I said it's flat with the bookcase.
The person downstairs doesn't care. The person, in this case here, the person downstairs doesn't care. He's very happy that everyone in the whole of El Ad should have the same bookcase. It doesn't bother him. The one who's bothered by it. Well, the designer, the architect, he says, look, you know, but the architect, according to Rabbi Yehuda, would have had no right to resell this plan to anyone else. So in this case, if he resold the plan,
according to Rabbi Yehuda, the printer didn't have the right. That's the same as the architect. Here's the owner.
The owner who bought it, the letters don't exist anymore. He can't do anything with it anymore.
He's got a drawing. He bought the drawing from the architect.
Yeah.
So now he's got it.
So the shell is the drawing is.
It's like the original. Let's just bring
into focus. There's a Chuvus Divri Malkiel. Some of you have heard of Tenenbaum. He's Chelik of Neud Budim Kovokol. He brings a story of, this was in Poland. Somebody went to the Polish Ministry of Health to get to take out a license to produce sweetened waters, mayim metukim uverechim. Like, I don't know exactly what it is, but it had a pleasant smell of sweet waters. And he needed from the Ministry of Health in Poland to get this issue. And he probably invested a lot of money in children and protection, I don't know what. And he finally got this tiketim, that's what the Russian is, these certificates. And he produced his water and he started marking it. Along came along Floyd Almeini, and he decided, oh, it's a good business. He photocopied, or he took a copy of these tickets, and he started producing water as well. Scandal. How can he do such a thing? And the Divimal Kelly gives me falcon on it from Mamish Amud Amud, and he comes. His maskana is that because the person who stole it, if he's nene, even indirectly, from the actual certificates which he produced, there is his problem. But he has no problem at all with Melchior, no problem. He said that he actually copied the water, that didn't bother me. It did bother me. It was like you'd say, his pot of lasso. He can't do anything about that to you. Why? Because he didn't steal anything from him. The water, he took his own water and he processed the water using the other one's patent how to do it. But he did it himself. He says, not going to be chayv in that. What about Divrei Malkiel? At the end, maybe he was subjected to a lot of pressure. He wrote at the end, he's matir for the first person to go and print Pashkevilim all over the town and say that the water produced by the second person, he's used my patent, he can print that. Even if there was a chashash, because he forged the certificate from the health ministry. Even if there's a chashash of Halshana, maybe that they'll arrest him, the Divrei Malkiel was mad for that, because he wasn't happy about that. But you see that Chazal, they were not happy about this whole thing. Nevertheless, we have to understand. Some people think hafeichba to kulubai is to make a psak. You make a psak, you decide what the psak is, and you round that psak, you look for makaris in the Shulchan Aruch. That's not the correct way to do it. You have to look in the makaris, even if the makaris comes out that there's no way we can be motzi momen in Bezdin, but also it can be also. That's l'chori what the matzav is here. In all these cases over here, come out. Unless it's in a case we actually bought it. Most of these cases here were goyvel on isurim. If you take somebody else's rayon, somebody else's mashkiah, his money in it, his time in it, you go and take that and you commercialize it. Even if you don't commercialize it, use it without his permission, then you're going on a chashash of isur gezel. And that's problematic. Okay. If Sorry? He didn't have to pay the architect? Who? No. No. Yeah. He didn't have to. He paid him, so he was Michael.
I don't understand.